Hello, everybody. On this episode of Training Grounds, we are going to go over a Web Warriors list of what we're going to be taking to a local tournament here in the near future. My name is Sean, and welcome to the Gamers Guild. All right, everybody. I'm back here, and today with me, I have Brad, one of our patrons. Brad, how are you doing, man?
Pretty good. How are you, Sean?
Doing well, doing well. Nice early Sunday morning. Well, early-ish. But yeah, no, doing fantastic. I enjoyed some WrestleMania Night 1 last night, and going to be doing Night 2 tonight, so pretty sweet. How about yourself? How have you been doing, man?
Been pretty good trying to get back into the hobby swing of things. I hadn't painted in about 6 months, and we've got the I don't know what to call next weekend's event, right? The Kenny G Memorial. Kenny's actually gonna be at some MCP stuff, so trying to get a couple of pieces painted up to take with me down there so that I can play fully painted.
Yeah, that's gonna be really sweet. And yeah, for everyone out there that's around the Birmingham area, our own Kenny is, and also Merzane are going to be doing their event that they're throwing going on there. Next weekend is going to be, was that April the 13th, I do believe?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And so with that being said, yeah, if you're in that area and you want to get your MCP on, go and support them. They have a great scene out there. It's going to be a good time, I'm sure. So Brad, what are we packing today? I know it's Web Warriors. Are we going like attrition? Are we going like more like your traditional style?
So I very much kind of the style I like that's natural for me is I like to kind of play the runaway and hide style game, but I like to play the I'm just gonna do my thing. And if I don't need to absolutely roll dice into you, I don't want to have to touch dice.
Okay. Right?
I want to position. I want to move things around. I want to get up on points, right? I want to play I'm very objective focused, but I don't mind when, cool, I need to roll dice and I need to do attrition. I will. I don't like my success to be tied to being good at attrition.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. And I mean, you explained something very great that Web Warriors brings to the table. They do a fantastic job at just not rolling dice and just moving models. I really like the focus here. So I'm assuming, you know, we do a color grade scale here usually before we break down into the list. For our breakdown, it would be like green would be like more narrative. You have yellow here that's more of just like kind of like a casual list. You have orange, which is like high power, that you're just bringing something strong, but then you have red that is more like, this is a tournament list. We're trying to push everything to 11 and win this thing. With the event next weekend, I'm going to assume it's probably going to be in that red territory. Would that be correct, Brad?
Oh, very much. There'll be a lot of Gamers Guild folks there, one of whom will be my ride, so I can't beat him, but everybody else I want to take out. So
they're sort of lining up like another ride if you do take them.
Right. I know better. I know where the bread is buttered. I'm not Jimmy DeHand will be safe.
But just make sure y'all mark yourselves as friends with Longshanks if you haven't already. At least dodge some of that round one.
Yep, we will.
All right. So with that being said, we know our category. We're in that red area. Let's go ahead and do this character breakdown. So we have right here, we have ASM, so Amazing Spider-Man for everybody out there. Black Cat, Ghost Spider, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Spider-Woman. We have Lizard. We have Baron Strucker. We have Beta Ray Bill. And we have Toad. Yeah. I also miss a Spectacular Spider-Man then as well. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep. That's in there. And I've been kind of playing around with this list the last couple months. And the most recent kind of swaps were brought in Beta Ray Bill, took out Moon Knight, and swapped Two-Threat Black Widow for Toad. Those were the two recent kind of changes I made just to give me a little bit more of that safe midline.
Gotcha. So play. He... I, Just, Mm-hmm.
But so, I don't know that I love it, but it's kind of what you need to do right now because we are pushing into the red.
Right, right, right. And I was going to say, like, he was on the lower end. You actually brought up one of the characters, like, more, I try to tier my characters on, like, what I really think is a good option to, like, hey, we could talk about this one.
Mm-hmm.
I had Moon Knight as on, like, my lower end.
Mm-hmm.
What was the reasoning for cutting him out?
It was really just, he wasn't seeing the table that often. Mm-hmm. And it really was just having someone who could play eyes. Right. And sure. that's either Bill or Hela right now that can just kind of do that at a four threat. Right. Now, what I loved doing is, you know, having, you know, and I still have 6-3s in here. Right. Because I love going 6 wide or 7 wide.
Yes.
Right. When I can. That's kind of part of the, I'll roll dice when I have to. But if I'm that much wider than somebody else, then I usually can have 2 people on a point. And it's like, well, good luck killing them both in the same round type of concept.
Right. I hear that. That's definitely understandable.
But outside of that, like, other than being affiliated, like, I really wasn't using Moon Knight for stuff. He's very, he runs hot or cold to me. He's not the most consistent one way or the other. And doesn't do a lot to change the board state in the same way that Ghost Spider will.
That is very fair. Yeah, I've, how do I put this? He has some fantastic, like, all webbed up turns.
Yes.
And he's arguably one of your more explosive characters when that gets laid down. With having an attack with rapid fire now being 6 dice, insanely good. Very, very good.
Like, rapid fire, range 4 with stealth, like, he does good at what he needs to do, but he doesn't contribute to changing the board state around, right? Which is kind of, when I don't want to roll dice, that's kind of what I need to be able to do.
Right. Yeah, I can definitely see that for sure. Okay. So, I think that's an easy talk to not have, and let's go ahead and go into some of the characters that I'm looking at that was higher on that list. So,
yeah.
I would be remiss that we're talking about a red list, and we did not look at Cubic Tango's winning Web Warriors list at Adepticon for the Challenger event.
Yeah, let's take a look at that.
Yeah, so his changes from your list, it is a lot of the same. And whenever I did my research, I was like, okay, and I was like, wow, is this the same list? But there are differences here in the character categories. We have, and he has a Baron, but it's not Strucker. Mm-hmm. It's Zemo.
Right.
So I think he is that, like, fast punching, fast yet punching character in his, and with, like, the reroll bubble as well. I like your pivot with Strucker, kind of the same mentality. You have a little bit better range, not as quick, though. For, like, a lot of your D scenarios.
Yeah. So the reason why I kind of went Strucker over Zemo, right? Okay. So the other piece that I have in here, he's pretty much been a staple, but we're going to talk about whether Lizard needs to stay or not.
Mm-hmm.
But to have 2 healing factor splashes in here really puts exceptional healing, right, online. It makes it much harder for my opponent to play around.
Yes.
The other thing, I mean, obviously Strucker hands out in scenario, which is nice. And if he's on a flank by himself, he can throw out poison, which is also very disruptive, right, to my opponent. But I think what everybody forgets is he basically has Venom's Spender. Right.
Yeah.
2, range 2, but 7 dice. After the attack is resolved, this character removes 1 damage from itself for each damage dealt. So he can really just stick on the board to a point and be able to just keep healing himself, right? Whether it's exceptional healing, whether it's the world is mine, just healing factor, taking off 1 plus the reroll bubble. And then he also gets to now reroll his skull, potentially, if I'm not using arrogance, to even further up his kind of survivability.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, those are very fair arguments, and we'll go ahead and do the flip side. As Zemo's estate, like, has been around forever, right?
Yep.
Since the inception of the game. So we know strangers to what Zemo can bring. Well, he's a fast mover. He's got the, you know, average defense, except for Mystic, you know, out there enough, of course, but he also has a very cheap spender that yes. gives him more movement. He has the reroll. He has the counter strike. He does have great defensive tech if it's a physical attack.
Yes.
But that's it. Outside, so I definitely like where you're kind of going with here with the Strucker idea, especially if you're, you know, like trying to mitigate the being diced, if you will. Yes. Which it definitely sounds like, you know, that might be in that ballpark, if I'm thinking correctly here.
Yeah. Now, I got to tell you, like, Counter-Strike, I have been got on Counter-Strike, like, making the mistake of attacking Zemo when I have one health and putting my mm-hmm. first attack into him, and I have gotten Counter-Strike more times. Right? I've been the victim to Zemo way too often. So, like, I totally understand the kind of, you know, what his impact on the table and what he can do. And I wouldn't even argue too hard, right? Depending on who we can cut and who we can slot in, of running them both as flexes.
Okay.
Right? Because I ain't going to hate having a reroll bubble on either side of the table.
Yeah, that's fair. So with that being said, let's go ahead and do a flip then. We'll put that in the bin. We'll figure out, like, or over here on the left. So we'll see if we're going to end up doing that. So I think we're pretty hard, like, not hard struck on Strucker per se.
Well, I think one of the two, right? We're going to have a Baron, and mm-hmm. it's probably not going to be Mordo.
Yeah, probably not. Right. Definitely not on my list for sure.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things, like, if you just want to get a midline grab and you don't need to make that second move, like, he can play eyes.
Yeah.
He can take an action and gain 2 power. Right, or he can take an action, gain 2 power, and then I haven't been an advanced R&D player in webs, but, like, yeah, he could do that and then hand out power. Like, absolutely. I don't know that it's the best use of an early activation, but it's a thing.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So the other change that he has, and there's only two characters that were different, was he did not have a lizard.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he had a wall.
Yeah, that's that one is interesting, because the person I had been thinking about swapping Lizard out for was Deadpool.
Was Deadpool. Okay, okay.
Yeah. Right, so I still have that healing factor, that second healing factor. I still have two healing factor characters, right?
Sure.
Deadpool counts as healthy on his backside, and he doesn't have the displacement that Lizard brings, right? He brings more killie, right? And so it's kind of that balance, right? Of, well, do I want more killie? Do I want the displacement of Lizard? Do I want the tankiness of Lizard, right? Deadpool can be hard to kill, but he's also not, he doesn't have damage reduction. He doesn't have, you know, as much health as Lizard.
Yeah. He does count on healthy as both sides, which is definitely a factor.
Yep.
I personally like Lizard more than the Deadpool plan. I think what you have going on here, if we're talking about that, is the proper way to go. I like the tankiness of Lizard. I like the displacement. And that is what you really want a core of, like, a webs list.
Yep.
That being said, so the Wong game plan kind of helps mitigate the biggest issue that webs usually have, which is power. They notoriously have always had, like, a power mitigation issue.
Yes.
And Wong helps curb that, because there's something else we're going to be talking about shortly in the tactics cards, which it will be another one of the things that are tied to Wong, and that is advanced R&D.
Yep.
So he is doing the Wong advanced R&D play of just, like, generate a bunch of power, distribute out to your webs, to let them do what they need to do in the early game, which I think there is some merit to that. In a list like this, would you feel, the question is, and I'm always a big advocate of, sure, this might be, like, one of the better, if not the best thing you can be doing. That being said, are you comfortable doing the thing? If you're not, it's best to stick with what you're comfortable with, especially this close to a time of a tournament.
Right. So it's like, I have taken Wong in there. I've also, like, one of the things I think we'll talk about as we get into characters here is an affiliation flex, right? So I have run Wong as my 2 threat in my webs before when I've brought a defender's flex, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he can be really good then. And then, you know, you not only get the power thing, but the other thing I think that he does really well is with Faithful, with Vishnu's blessing, right, of being able to heal too, or a special condition off a character, is it makes it just even a little bit harder, right,
right,
for them to, for your opponent. So it's like, that's kind of the thing like Wong brings, right, over Toad, is Wong's going to make your hard to kill guys more frustrating to kill. And I really like that concept.
Yes. And so, but now the thing is, though, understand, like, this isn't going to be over Toad. This would be over Lizard. You'd be bringing two threats.
And I'm okay with that, because there are certain times where it's like, cool, like I'll run, you know, whatever my 16 is plus two threats or whatever, you know, at 18 or 20. You know, like I like to go wide.
Right.
So. All right.
So what do you think about that then? Do you want to keep that tankiness of the Lizard, or maybe even look at the Strucker Avenue and try to implement like a Wong game plan here?
Yeah, well, I'm just kind of adding some of these characters to the list here and kind of stuck both Wong and Toad, right? And I think maybe this is the right point, like, you know, because one of the biggest things where I don't have a lot of reps into as many like E down the middle killy lists, right? Just nobody around here really plays that. I just haven't run into it too much. And I know that's an area where I got at a DEFCON 2023, not having experience into that. Yeah. That was my one loss that year. Right, is I was playing Brotherhood and I just didn't have experience dealing with Mal down the middle, right?
Yeah.
And so like when I've played around with that before, right? If I have Daredevil in the list and then I have the Defenders flex, they're much better at playing on an E than Webs are, at least with the experience that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's like then it becomes and what my Defenders flex was you know, swapping in and having Daredevil, which he's affiliated with the foes, so that works out well. Bringing Wong and Strange Supreme, right, as my defenders.
Okay.
And then, you know, that Strange Supreme can be pretty tanky. He's got some healing abilities. You know, it brings me a Mystic Attacker, which I don't have right now. You know, can play Eyes on the Prize, right?
Damn.
Is that medium move, medium base with an extra power. Right, so he adds some different things to it if I want to be able to Defenders flex.
Okay.
The other flex that I've played around with in the past is an A-Force flex, because we've got Black Cat and Spider-Woman already affiliated, right, who are strong web warriors, is, cool, let's throw in She-Hulk and Okoye, right, and maybe two-threat Black Widow, right, and run that two threats. Right, or bring in Shuri for another displacement model in my webs as well. And then I have that ability to flex down into A-Force if I needed to.
Gotcha, yeah, sure.
So those are kind of the different flexes I've played with in the past a little bit.
Gotcha, okay. Well, talking about a character like this, then, would we want to pivot like that? Because at that point, we're stripping more than just what we've been talking about here.
Right, and that's so I guess, you know, where I'm coming to you for the, you know, for this is, How do we beef me up, right? Or what is, it could be the exact list I've got, right? But what is my strategy, right? What is my game plan for that? I run into somebody who is just wanting to run straight down the middle, right? I-Hulk, Ghost Rider, Blade. Like, how do
right.
I, what's my game plan into that?
Luckily, if that's happening, we're still rocking your extracts. It's still going to be a high-scoring game.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you focus on the extract game. You focus on that extract game to, like, hey, all right, yeah, sure, we're stuck on, you know, stuck playing your style, this, like, E down the middle. But the most are going to be scoring out of those E's are going to be 4 points if that's gamma. And it has to be gamma, right? Outside of that, it's 3 points. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a better job mitigating the extracts, you're still winning that game. You're going to hold back. Like, the idea is holding back, like, your that back point, sniping the middle point on rounds that you can, but don't overextend.
Right. Yeah. Being controlled.
Exactly. And then what you're really focusing on is making sure you're keeping a lockdown on the extract game plan. And so looking at the extracts you have, and again, we're going a little further into the list at this point, but I think that's important to look at before we look at these or finish these characters. So we'll readdress it, but right now for your extracts, you have Extremis, Skrulls, Spider Infected.
Yes.
And me personally, I think Spider Infected is like an auto include awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Skrulls is where you want to be. I think you minimum you want to be scoring 5 points on your extracts. Also, in that, in a weird kind of pivot vein, though, Senators may also not be where you want to be because of like the I only get to move once. Where with Webs, you really don't want to like take away from your movement shenanigans and like what you can do. Like you want to be able to double move on turns you need to.
Yeah.
And that stops you from that.
It does, yeah.
Right. So what I would look at would be something like Cubes and Paranoia. I understand that you take plink damage from those, and that can be a little shaky. That being said, those are scoring five. Like you and like Paranoia is the one that's like, you know, it's only four on board, but of course we have the part of within range two scoring the extra. And also on top of that as well, those are 17, 17, 16, which I believe with a list like this, you want to be playing at a lower threat count if possible.
Gotcha. Okay.
Where here, Extremis is 19, Skrulls is 20, you got Paranoia 16, and Cubes is another 17.
Right.
So they're bringing less of that, give it a more of a, or less of an opportunity to like, bring something big and punchy. So when you get that down the middle, you're still picking the threat level. And at most, you're going to be playing, all right, well, the highest we can even go is going to be like 17. Is like, because that's, you're going to be picking the lower number.
Right.
I get you.
I like that. You know, and just, so kind of, in Paranoia had been in here for a while. And then also, you know, Cubes have been in here, and I kind of felt like with Cubes, and I kind of feel very similar, or my thought was very similar on Superpowered Scoundrels, which I know is popular in a Webs list, is like, cool, but now I'm just making the things that I'm kind of leveling the playing field for my opponent, right? Because, oh, cool, now I'm taking plink damage off of this cube. Well, they're trying to kill me anyway, so I'm doing their job for them, right? My leadership strength is, cool, I've got that defensive reroll. Oh, now I'm just letting you have cover by playing Scoundrels.
I got you.
And so that's, I don't know that it's right, but that's kind of where my thought process was, right? It's an opinion, right? And opinions can be changed.
Of course. So I think the thought process for me personally behind a lot of that stuff has to go into the factor of like, sure, your opponent is benefiting from this, but are you benefiting from it more? And in a lot of cases, I think you are, especially when you're under like that Miles Morales leadership, which we, in a list like this, that's the leadership we're taking, again, 9 times out of 10. Like,
right, yep.
That is leadership you're packing. Right.
Yep, that is leadership I've been playing with. I think I need a different list if I want to run ASM. Leadership, yes. I need a list of characters who are much better at generating power so I can really take advantage of that leadership.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, we would be looking at characters like Agent Venom, like Moon Knight, if we're rocking like an ASM-focused list.
Yep.
Or if we're trying to do like a pivot. Back to this. We look at some of these other options. Like, you look at, like I say, for the plink damage part of the talk, you can look at characters like Wong. Remember, we just talked about that, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, now Wong is even more appealing because now he's like, oh, cool. Well, yeah, I'm taking plink damage, but now Wong can take care of this character. You also have another card that I don't think is in your list, but is one I was going to bring up in Aunt May's Wheat Cakes.
Yeah, yep. And that's been in before. I took it out because I got really mad at it one day. I was playing it and I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go ahead and play that on Black Cat. You know, she's taking a couple damage. And then when I got to her activation, she didn't have the power to do what she needed to do, and I just got pissed at myself for just playing it to play it on her to heal a damage rather than doing the math to say, can she really afford to play this even though she's sitting on, you know, 3 power?
Right.
It was, or if you're sitting on 4 power, and it's like, well, no, because I needed to be able to, Troublemaker and Grappling Hook. And as soon as I did that, now I couldn't do both, so I couldn't get to where I needed to be.
Yeah. Playing webs is definitely more like the, if anyone's used like Magic the Gathering terms of that, they're like the control of the format, right? Yes. Like they are the, like, arguably like the control affiliation. And with that comes a lot of like mental tax. You have to know and plan out your turns. You have to pay attention to your power. Because again, as we mentioned, they have power problems. That is a big thing about this affiliation. Now, don't get me wrong. You can have terms where you spike an attack. You just generate a whole bunch. You're off to races.
I mean, I had Toad almost like double days. A 4-threat Doc Ock and a lizard the other night in one activation. Like, he just went crazy and had like 6 successes on 6 dice both times.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so dice are going to just do crazy things sometimes.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But I kind of like cubes, you know, paranoia and infected, right? And I hear what you're saying, right? I think it makes a lot of sense about keeping the threat low so they can, maybe they can bring 1 beater but not afford to bring 2 beaters.
Right. Absolutely. So, all right. So with that all being said, we can kind of revisit that character conversation.
Yeah.
This isn't like advanced R&D over here. Anything we talk about in this section, not a hard loss. We kind of go over the ideas first, and then we do like a final like review wrap.
Yep.
And then that's where we make the legit changes and be like, yes, like this is something I think we're comfortable with.
Yeah.
We want to do.
No, and I think, you know, kind of I had told you ahead of time kind of like my core kind of lock characters, right? I think maybe we go ahead and just talk about those right now real quick, so that way kind of everybody's on the same page that you and I have already talked about. Going to be Miles Morales, going to be Ghost Spider, going to be Black Cat, and is Spider-Woman, right? Those are kind of my four. They're gonna be here.
Yeah.
Characters, absolutely. Right? I feel like those let you do those things you need to be able to do, right? It gives you those steals and those Venom Blasts, that displacement, right? That movement, that control.
Yes, absolutely. I think if you are a webs player to the core, like that is a core that's like pretty unshaken. They're just kind of stapled pieces that are just in about every list. You're not taking them every time. They're not great in every single matchup, but they are just essential to the Web Warriors plan.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I definitely, I like came into agreement with that immediately. They were actually characters that I had on my list that were just like, I wouldn't even consider moving them.
Yeah. So like I said, I just like to kind of get that out there. So that way, as I kind of am looking at the existing list, and they have another one where I'm building kind of our version of webs, I can kind of just, okay, they're at the top, anything above that line, those are set, you know.
Yep.
We're not changing those. Everything else is up for discussion.
Yeah. I think so. I'll go ahead and start hard locking like my opinions, and if you disagree with anything like that, that's fine. You can go ahead and, say your case.
Yeah.
I think a list like this, I think Beta Ray Bill is pretty much a lock.
Okay.
I don't like the idea this close to the event to doing a hard pivot to a second affiliation personally.
Yep.
Especially if you've been practicing these guys quite a bit. And I think Beta Ray Bill with the eyes play, that is just like a stapled thing in a lot of lists.
Right.
This list is no exception. It is very powerful. He is insanely tanky, and just holds on to an extract from the get-go, especially if you're going first. Some matches when you're going second, like especially with like Paranoia. Paranoia, he can sit there in that like around that mid range anyway, because you have those two that sit so close to each other. And again, we're not on Paranoia yet, but we're really going to talk about that discussion as the extracts come up.
Yes.
But that's another insanely powerful Beta Ray mission, just because he He can get power to mitigate the damage it deals.
Yep.
He can, he won't be doing it turn one, but he'll.
If he needs to pick up later, but he's somebody, you know, I want the Beta Ray Bills. I want the lizard type characters to be my first pickups because I want my characters, particularly, you know, since we're running two of the three are civilian based, right? Where we can only hold one, I think, right? I want Miles to be able to Venom Blast and be able to pick up. I want Black Cat to be able to steal. So I don't want them being my first pickups.
Right. Absolutely. So I think Beta Ray is a staple here.
Yep.
I think we kind of talked about if there's any of your spiders that were like potential, like flex out was Spectacular. I think at this point, Spectacular is completely fine staying. I think ASM is more for your matchups that you are kind of forced into a high threat. Where you're like you're playing into that 19 into that 20, and you're just like, you know, I just need like ASM does, especially with his rework, brings a lot to the table now. Mm-hmm. I did not care for him that much before the rework, but now he can generate decent power. With his new superpower, he can his displacement is fantastic. Along with packing a decent bit of a punch that a lot of these other webs just don't bring.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he's fantastic to be there, but a lot of times he's not going to be ran because you're trying to play these lower threats.
Mm-hmm.
So Spectacular is a nice fill in, and his kit is actually pretty sweet, even for like that three threat slot.
I love Mesa three threat. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's really, really good. His power generation, again, he has a little bit of issues because, especially with Swinging Strike, it doesn't generate off of like a builder's side, but it's a gainer. He's always going to get it.
Yeah, he's always going to be able to have a couple power, right? So he can either swing. I think his throw is fantastic, right? We've talked about a lot of the game plan is controlling the board state.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then more rerolls, right, on defense. Right. He's got two and he uses them on dodges just like Miles does. So it makes it even harder in the terrain throw meta, for your opponent to get you.
Yeah, absolutely does, man. I think Spectacular Spider-Man is fantastic in a list like this. So I think your core of like the Web Warriors is insanely solid. I don't even think we change anything. I think all of it stays.
Yeah, like I could be talked into ASM being subbed out for somebody else, right?
Sure,
like, that is definitely a thing. When we start looking here at the flex pieces, and it's like, well, if we're playing at lower threat, right? What are we gonna flex to more often, right? And and do we need more variety or different role players at that lower threat?
Right. But the thing is, I really don't think we do. Like your low threat, like. Count is high, very high. And ASM, like, I like the idea of like having ASM as a higher, like, five threat in a list like this because he also benefits from all webbed up. Just the fact that, like, when you do your all webbed up turn, he is going to put in work.
Yep.
Unless, of course, you're just like severe, like poorly positioned or something like that.
Hopefully, he can get himself into position.
Yes, absolutely.
That is his, like, mobility is his biggest strength, right? Double long move in a range three place.
Right. And also he brings, on top of all of this, he brings that free Beta Ray Bill interaction, right? Like, no eyes, he doesn't need it. Just walks up to a midline, interacts, moves back.
Yep.
So then you're talking about an aspect where you might have matchups in higher threats where you're just like, oh, well, I'm just going to, you know, potentially even bring both.
I can definitely see that. I'm like a paranoia at a higher threat. Like, cool. All right. I got two safe midlines.
Yep.
Absolutely. You know, especially if I'm on something like, you know, a B shape secure, it's like, cool. We're just going to pick it up, come back here, pick it up, come back here.
Right.
And just start to cocoon up now.
So, and that's why I like him overall and staying and like being that's like stick is because he can contribute a little bit better with that, attrition gameplay with like the all webbed up turns, but on top of that, he still plays the core game plan exceptionally well. So I think to me personally, I think he stays. I think what you brought as your staple list for all of your web characters is fantastic.
All right. Well, let's stick with that then. That's what I've been playing. Cool. The dojo master here agrees, so.
I don't know about master, but we doing something over here. We could.
Yeah.
So on the other side of the things, I like your idea of Strucker and the Lizard Game plan. However, at least with what else I'm looking at here, mm-hmm. I do really like the Wong aspect and thought process.
Yeah.
The fact that Wong can bring that extra power and healing mitigation to the table for them at just the low, low cost of 2 threat.
Yeah. Well, I think, especially what we're trying to do, regardless of who it is, right? And webs are spoiled in that there are so many different 2 threats that really help and play into what they're trying to do, right? Toad, right. Wong, and Black Widow. All 2 threats who all play fantastically into their plan. And even Okoye, I think, plays really well because you leave her with Ghost Spider to be able to take those attacks, because everybody I tend to play with just focus fires on Ghost Spider, this, you know, trying to get rid of her, take that lifesaver away and all of those things. Yeah. So I even think an Okoye with Ghost Spider is a really good use of a 2 threat.
Definitely can be. I think if we were in the aspect of what Okoye, at least around what she used to be,
yeah,
I think Okoye would be a staple. The fact that, yeah, and again, this is like going off the rails here, but the fact that Okoye does not generate power off of her range attack anymore, mm-hmm. period, I think has taken her out of consideration completely in a list like this.
Yeah.
But that being said,
Well, I'm just saying, like they could, like, webs are spoiled for choices of twos, whereas a lot of other affiliations are like, well, I need a two, but like nobody really plays into my game plan.
Yeah. I think Toad is a staple. Toad is the like objective based king. Can interact with flip secures at range two,
yep.
Can pick up extracts range two. Again, another one of those characters that just completely plays with your game plan of what you're trying to do. Slippery being an aspect, as long as he lives, just getting out of dodge.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, just and one. I was playing him the other night in an online game. Lucas Schick, who's extremely good, right, with all mm-hmm. these models and everything. And, you know, we were on scrolls, and so I just set Toad up to be, cool, he's just going to grab my scroll, right, and then he can move back and whatever. Because I hadn't thought about on the, because he still has to double move to grab one of the other points that's on the midline, right?
Yeah.
And there is a truck. The way Lucas had positioned the table, right, there is a truck size 3 between where my characters would be standing on a B and the midline. And I didn't even think about, well, I don't need line of sight to pick that up. I think I could have actually just pushed Toad up against the truck and been able to grab that scroll, but be hidden and not be vulnerable. And so, like, there's little things like that where it's like, I've got to, you know, keep telling myself, you got to remember those things, right? Just, you don't need line of sight to interact.
Nope,
don't
sure
need
don't.
Line of sight, you know, to pick something up. And so that's just a thing of, you know, when you go from playing like more practical games, if it's like, oh, well, you're not on the same level as that. You can't do that. Whereas, like, yeah, this game has train sizes, but like levels for picking up and interacting, it ignores.
Yep, that's correct. Absolutely. So, and like for most characters, that doesn't, like, that's not really a factor, but for Toad specifically, it definitely is.
Right. And it's that, it can be that gotcha against your opponent of, oh, crap, they didn't think of that when they're positioning things, right, or picking board edges.
Right.
And me saying it out loud here will hopefully make me be more conscientious of it next weekend. I can do those shenanigans.
I hope you, like, flash back to this moment, right?
Exactly, right? Like, it's, I'll look at my wife a lot of times and I'm like, remind me something, and it's something she has no clue about. And it's really just, I have to say it out loud, so that I actually remember to do it. I have no expectation that she's going to remind me to do it, but just saying it out loud helps lock it into my brain.
I like that. I like that a lot. So I think, are we okay as, or do you want to just kind of like put it in that iffy area until we talk about the rest of the list of like a lizard for a Wong here?
I think I'm okay with it, right? Like, obviously, lizard brings a lot of movement and displacement and tankiness, but he doesn't bring any attrition. He doesn't bring any extra, anything extra, really, as far as the objective play goes, right? He's tanky, right, so he can hold stuff, right? He's got healing factor, so he's a good cube holder. But outside of that, right, and he's got wall color, so he doesn't care about terrain. But, like, those are the things, and that's, my team already kind of does that.
Right. I think, right? He's more of the same. Yes.
So I kind of like this idea of bringing in different things.
Yes. I like the idea at this point of, like, having a support piece that comes in that's very cheap, like, not super taxing against you on threat level.
Nope.
Comes in, can still score, moves medium, 35 mil base.
Yep.
But passes out power and heals your characters.
Yep.
I think is huge here.
Yep.
In a list like this. So, all right, we'll put that down in the notes here real quick.
So right now I've got Toad and Wong both in here. Right. So we're going 2-2s.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
All right. So I've got one spot we have not locked in yet.
Right. And I think we can revisit that one here in a bit. So, and I think that topic might get a little bit better in the team tactics area.
Because
right now, we only have one more character that has healing factor, right? And that is Strucker.
Yep.
So I think that conversation can be better had once we get into team tactics of like, hey, we're having a hard time fitting in another card we might want to switch out. And if exceptional healing becomes a topic of getting the chopping block, if you will, that would help that conversation of the Zemo over Strucker game.
Right.
Because I do like what you mentioned about Strucker over Zemo. I like that, you know, he's a little bit tankier because he has healing factor. He can heal. He still has that bubble that Zemo's bringing. The only thing that he doesn't bring that I'm not sure on myself would be the speed. The fact that he's a medium, not a fast. The fact that he doesn't have an attack that also has movement attached. Which I think are viable things to really think about here.
Mm-hmm.
But what he does bring are the things you mentioned previously, where he still has the bubble, which is something you still really want him for.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely tankier. Absolutely. Healing factor is a thing. Exceptional healing is a de facto card with characters like that, of course. So he can bring a little bit of like an attrition game plan. I think like when you are stuck on those E's, he's a character to heavily like consider or probably even a shoe in.
Yeah. I mean, and you can dive bomb into their group, and if he's on one health, and cool, I'm going to dive bomb and I'm going to throw poison on all of you guys before you kill me. So have fun not getting your power the start of the round.
Absolutely. He brings that little bit of a taxing to everyone as well. So, but let's go ahead and break down into our team tactics cards now. Okay. So
do we want to go back and do we want to talk about, so we've kind of got our extracts locked in. Did we want to talk about secures first?
So I want to go ahead and talk about the tactics first, and then we're going to go ahead and break down the crisis before, and that's when we will like wrap everything up here.
Okay,
the ninth
cool.
little bow. So tactics cards for you, I have Brace for Impact, Disarm, All Webbed Up, Fallback, Mission Objective, No Matter the Cost, Spider Tracker, The Cat and the Spider, Exceptional Healing, Eyes on the Prize.
Yep.
All right. So with that being said, I think the first and foremost topic here would be we brought Wong.
Yep.
Right? So with Wong, I do think an advanced R&D is a heavy topic to consider.
Yeah.
And I think like it's restricted, so this conversation's like becomes, it's still hard, but like obviously the options become easy, right?
Yeah.
We're only talking about two cards.
Yeah. So let's talk about, well, let's go ahead and take care of, you know, the easy to kill elephant in the room, and that is probably Brace.
Okay.
Right. Is Brace just stapled like it is everywhere else, or is a Brace up for discussion?
I think personally, there is no discussion.
Okay.
I think that brace, especially in a list like this, right? We're, I understand disarm is playing a similar role in like the survivability, right?
Yep.
Like, and I do like disarm a lot, but let's not get it twisted here.
Nope.
But brace just does God's work.
Yes. No, I agree. Brace was always in there, right? It never was not going to be, but I just wanted to make sure like, cool. So we're really talking about one slot, right? And, yeah. And a handful of cards, which are our restricted cards.
Yeah, pretty yeah. much. Yeah. So yeah. Brace, especially in a list, like there are lists out there that exist where I'm like, look, there's an argument here to possibly not have Brace.
Yep.
But it just becomes that, right? Like there's never a, oh no, yeah, we removed Brace here. No. Brace for Impact is a staple in 9.9 lists out of 10.
Yep.
It is just that good. And the only foam without it. It's the only foam without it. So so the talk here would definitely be disarm, taking that out, putting in advanced R&D.
And I'm okay with that, but I think since we're talking about restricted cards, right, let's go ahead and mention, you know, the other, you know, patch up and sacrifice. Because I think those need to be, you know, they both help do the things we're wanting to do, which is not die.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, so sacrifice, as everybody knows, is more of a like a bodyguard ability on a tactics card. And then the other being patch up of like having another character heal another one, dumping however much power they can up to 5.
Yep.
And being within range 2. So I think both those are fantastic. They help a lot. But the thing I've come to learn about like a lot of like Web Warriors lists and things like that, of these type of characters, they're very tanky. They are fast. Usually when you're not all the time, but there's a good chunk of the time that usually when a character is getting beat up, by the time you have an opportunity to use one of these cards, it's a little too late. Sacrifice less so. Sacrifice like is very good. As long as you're smart about your placement, you can decide who they're going to attack, who you want them to attack. Patch up more so is kind of what I'm getting at on this one.
No, I don't think either of them work well, but I wanted to include them, right? The biggest downfall of sacrifice is you can't reroll, and Web is all about rerolls on defense.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that is a fact.
You got to have a bunch of power. And we don't, that's been one of the things we've talked about is our lack of good power generation.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. So, I mean, those are the reasons why I didn't include those in there, but I wanted to bring them up because you tend to have a different point of view on some of these things than I do, which I appreciate. And I want to make sure we're talking about them.
Yeah. Another thing, too, it's like those are absolutely fantastic reasons here. And the other part of that is, too, is we're going to be spread out a lot. Both of those cards, you have to be within range, too. And you're going to find yourself in a lot of situations where that's just not going to be a thing. Like, honestly, most situations, probably not going to be a thing. The only time you're going to be trying to keep a character within range 2 most of the time is when you're bringing your whichever flavor of Baron we end up bringing.
Yes. Yep.
And that's not everybody. We're not like, we're not Death Starring it over here.
Yep.
But we are like, hey, I don't mind him being close to this character. Give him that extra reroll. Try to keep him alive. Or like try to have him pack that little bit of extra punch to get the power I need to do the play I need.
Right. Yeah. So. No. So I'm with you, and I am disarm was kind of based on that, right? I don't think Indomitable's a great card. Like I'm not really worried about getting pushed because I have so much movement and ways to get back. So that kind of left me with, well, it's either advanced R&D or disarm, right? That had always kind of been, and I didn't really have somebody chuck full of power in my previous list to run advanced. So disarm made sense.
Yeah. Before the swap, you didn't have like a good battery per se.
Yeah.
Battery Bill is funny because like, yeah, he gets that extra power, but he's not a battery. He usually doesn't generate well outside of that.
No, he needs his power.
Yep. Absolutely.
He's gonna use it, right? And I think going back, both Strucker and even more so Zemo, right? Zemo's good at generating power. But Zemo is going to spend all the power he has.
Yeah, he's really good at turning and burning for sure.
Yep.
But yeah. Okay. So we'll go ahead and do that swap. I think it's a pretty good shoe in here.
Yep.
All right. Perfect. And then, so I think the staples, let's go ahead and talk about what we do with the characters. We have cards that are not moving, right?
Yep.
Cards that are not moving here, I think, are All Webbed Up.
Yep.
Grace, obviously, we just talked about.
Yep.
And then from there we have,
Eyes, because that's the whole reason we're bringing Beta Ray Bill.
For sure. Mission Objective, I think, is a staple and should not move.
Yep.
No matter the cost, what I was shaky on for a little bit there, I think is actually fantastic. I like No Matter Cost with them a lot, especially with like a Miles, like when you need to do like the extract drop and you you gotta get it to go.
Well, and even if you've got three powered, it's like, well, I can't pick it up, so I've just got to take one damage so that I can pick this thing up.
Right. Absolutely. Or you might want to just like save as much as you can to like do another superpower afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, if he hasn't web swung yet, okay, cool, I can do this, pick it up and web swing back out.
Yes.
And get further away, right? I don't care that I take two damage from that full health if I'm going to be on the other side of the board in a minute.
Right. Absolutely. I think I mentioned fallback already. Spider tracker, I think it's also.
Fallback we didn't actually talk about. So
good. Fallback, I think, is pretty staple. There is escort, and I understand that. But escort also falls in that category of what we mentioned earlier of like it's range 3, but like you're gonna be spread out a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I like fallback more so because that is like you're gonna eat the first attack. Yes. Gonna happen. But it's a guarantee. The character itself plays it. I like it a lot more than escort in a list like this, personally.
Escort also costs 3 versus 2, right? We have to be very conscious of our power.
Absolutely. 100%. So that's what I think fallback doesn't budge. Some people can make the argument for escort, but I do like fallback a lot more.
Yeah. And then Spider Tracker being a Webs affiliated card does a very similar thing, but it lets you make an advance when an enemy gets within 4 of you, which is a pretty good range.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used it both from a defensive perspective, but I've also used it, and you can also use it in an offensive perspective, particularly on Spider Woman, to get her into martial artist range.
Nice, yeah.
So that she does count blanks, or to get yourself back on a point.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, Spider Track, I think, is a shoe-in. Like, you don't leave home without it.
Yep.
It's very, very powerful. So the ones we can talk, I would want to talk about here, and that's a huge chunk. Like, we just list...
Yeah, I've got 8
3
so
4.
Far. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We've already had the restricted talk, too, so we're set on those. So the ones we have for, like, wiggle room here really is, in my eyes, Cat and the Spider, Exceptional Healing. And again, we had that conversation earlier about exceptional of like, if we have to find room to cut it, then I think it's Zemo over Strucker at that point. So go ahead and explain the Cat and the Spider to me, thought process and the game plan there.
So I don't bring it very often, but it kind of is a way to create a safe grab for Black Cat. So she can move and get within 2 of whichever Peter Parker you have. Then she basically spends a power and gets thrown medium or gets... She's going to advance medium, let's say. Because odds are you're not... If you're playing at round 1, she's not jumping. She's not hitting anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but she gets thrown medium. She then interacts for free. So, like, if you get stuck on where you've got a matte shape of an extract and a pay to flip, it's great because she can interact with both of them for 0 power. Right? Because at this point, she has no power on her. But then she still has, a long move online to go ahead and get back, right? So it's very much kind of a pseudo eyes on the prize type of play. Or very much it can be a late game, I'm down. I just have got to get Black Cat a little bit further in the mix. If I'm lucky, I can hit somebody with her at the end of that throw. And maybe take out somebody who's left on 1 health. Cool. She can pick that up. She's got a bunch of power on her because she slipped. She can do a steal if we're playing something that's not that's an asset-based instead of a civilian base, right? And then she can still motor out long. So,
that's
so
what you're saying.
It kind of gives you that flexibility. It also kind of gives you that mental tax on your opponent, right? Especially when you save it, right? But it's also not a card I bring a lot in my five. So it's definitely one I would be more than willing to swap out for something else.
Yeah, so I'm reading the card right now, too. Mm-hmm. So I'll be very honest. I've only ever seen this card in play against me one time, and it was like back when it first came out.
Yep.
So a couple of things I'm not liking about the card for the idea around this list. I think the range two factor is a thing. And we talked about earlier, like the majority of the time, it's like an early game plan.
Yes.
Like we're doing it early on. I don't like that you have to immediately interact as soon as the throw resolves.
Yep.
Like, you don't get to keep the free pickup afterwards for the turn, right? Which, yep. I mean, it let's be honest, it would be busted if it wasn't that way. Like, card would be ridiculous. You'd see it everywhere.
It's Ms. Marvel on sword base, right? She can interact with all four.
Right, absolutely. So, that being said, so you have that, and you mentioned kind of like a pseudo eyes. I think we start to touch a territory of what is that old like WoW term? Like the mid game returns, like where it's like it's good to have a lot of a good thing in what we're trying to do, but you start to get these returns of just like not benefiting as well once you start to oversaturate.
Yeah, I mean, it's how many different white paints do you need?
And yeah, exactly. So with that, we already have two characters that can do that. You know, Beta Ray, of course, with eyes, you know, what it's named after. But we also have ASM.
Yep.
So now we're talking about a third option. It's like, do we really need a third option?
And that's why I said, like, this is definitely one that's, I would say, is typically my 10th card.
Right. And then so the other factor of this, I will say real fast, is the range two. And remember, we're as we talked about with other things here, we're going to be spread out. And what's the guarantee? And not only is it range two, it has to be a Peter Parker and Black Cat.
Yep.
Like, they got to be by each other within range two.
Yep.
So it's even more restricting.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I think this is like the first one that's potentially like on the chopping block. And something we mentioned about earlier and alluded to earlier was the extracts and kind of like working out through those.
Yep.
And if that's going to be the case, I think Aunt May's Sweet Cakes, or Wheat Cakes, I apologize, is probably the better fit in a spot like this.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So let's get that in.
All right. We'll go ahead and squeak.
So here, we got one left.
Yes. So the other one I had on here, and what was also mentioned as well, is Marked for Death.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Marked?
So, playing webs, right? You are the victim of Marked a whole lot. And usually you're, you know, so for those who don't know, right? Two allied characters within five each spend a power. This round, the enemy character loses and cannot gain stealth. So, remove stealth. Their speed becomes slow. So, they're not slowed, but their speed becomes slow. And they cannot modify or reroll defense dice. Right. So it's really I've even found it really good when somebody's like, I know that character is going to have to get some movement in order to score out. Right. And preventing them even from scoring out. It's very much a defensive card for me of cool. Now your Black Panther's slow. Have fun getting across the board.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you don't get to reroll any of your defense dice. Right. So it's a great card, even though he doesn't have stealth, to play on like a Baron Zemo before he activates.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Because now I've just nerfed your, you know, at best you're doing, you know, the most movement he's getting is a short and a medium, because he can still get his medium off of his spender, because it makes his speed, doesn't put slow on him, right?
Right.
And, like, and that's the best he's going to get. Oh, yeah, and I turned off your rerolls on defense when I got to punch you. So it's really good for that. It's also really good if you've got a tanky character with rerolls on your all-webbed-up turn that you need to daze or delete.
Right. So I think the talk here becomes, is Strucker with healing worth it over a card like that for you being able to, like, cause at this point in time, like, I think a thing webs don't like are as you kind of alluded to here, was characters that kind of play a similar style, right? That just have these fast movements, and like, you're not always playing on characters that have stealth, right?
Right.
Like, you're just playing, hey, I need this here to make it to where, sure, you don't get away from me. So, yep. It's a range restriction, but we're talking range 5 here.
Yeah. I mean, it's the biggest of the restrictions.
Right. And it's not super taxing.
No.
So we have range 5, 2 characters, sure. And then they only spend 1 power apiece. So, like, when we're talking a 1 power spending, it still attacks and it's still something to consider. But it's nowhere near the amount of some of these other cards that we've talked about previously.
Yeah.
I think let's go ahead. We'll put some asterisks by healing and this card. We'll round out the crises, and then I think we come back to this. What do you think?
Yeah, so let me talk a little bit real quick about, like, the downside, right, of exceptional. And a lot of people who've played a lot of, like, X-Men or X-Force Weapon X probably are very familiar with this, right? But if you haven't, one of the things you're constantly looking at when you're making all of your decisions when you've got exceptional healing still in your cards, right? And you've got a healing factor character is like, no, I'm not going to go ahead and, you know, with Strucker, no, we're not going to go ahead and do arrogance because I've already got my 3 power and I don't want to risk not having my 3 power to be able to play exceptional. So it's almost like when we talk about the power struggle, you almost are always keeping a minimum of 3 power on them and never wanting to drop below that because you're trying to keep exceptional online all the time, right? So it's an extra mental tax on yourself. And then a lot of times you maybe are making suboptimal activations because that reactive is in your mind.
Yeah.
So there is a downside to exceptional healing, I think, in that it does create an extra mental tax on you as the person running that card.
Yeah,
right?
That's
also
point.
A thing for people listening here who are running into somebody with exceptional. It's like, cool, what can you do? You know, you want to go run a rogue, somebody who can suck power, drain power off of people, or Wasp who doesn't give you power for damage, right? Like, those are really good characters to run into folks with healing factor because they can keep exceptional offline.
Yes, I can agree with that for sure. All right, so we'll put that as a possibility, if we will.
Yeah, no, I've got that slotted in right now. I kind of like this. These are things where it's like not having somebody necessarily to sit and spend this much time talking about a list with. You don't really, for me, it's like I got to talk through it, even though I inherently already know these things, to get to the actualization of, yeah, this is a trap or this is a crutch. This is causing me problems.
Yeah. So, all right. Do we want to go ahead and make that switch then? Go ahead Mark 4 and then do Zemo?
So, I mean, I still think we can play Strucker without.
Right. Okay.
Without it. So, I still think we kind of have a little bit of that conversation, right? Because Strucker is still kind of tanky with healing factor and the ability to heal.
Sure.
Okay. But I think we're going with here, right? I think right now I'm good taking out Strucker. All right, and bringing in Zemo. It's one of those things where one of the reasons I kind of like Strucker was it was my own twist on the webs concept.
Yeah, of course. Right? And that's one thing I do want to make sure here as well. Like, because I will say we are starting to lean towards, like, hey, we might be making a carbon copy of this winning list. That being said, I don't want to make it to a point of like, oh, this is what you need to be doing. This twist got first place. Like, that is not what we're here for. And if you still want to keep... This is my baby. This is my little like flavor and spice that I think is very good here. Then I think we go that avenue.
So I think I would if we hadn't made the decision in regards to color at the very beginning. Right? We chose red.
We did.
And when you choose red, you kind of like you just go for what is objectively the best.
For sure. And I do think that that is a good thing to keep in mind. And I will say, with that said, if Strucker wasn't a decent consideration to begin with, I would be on the latter side of this top of that of that conversation of like, hey, I know this is like your thing, but this is what you were looking for, and this is what I think the change should be. Strucker, I do think, does bring some interesting things to the table. And that's why I was like, you know, I could be on board with him staying.
Yeah. And I think he works really well if I have two healing factor characters, right? That was really part of bringing him in, was Lizard was stapled at the time, which we've taken him out, right? And so now I've got Strucker, Lizard, right? So cool. Now you got two healing factor characters to worry about as my opponent, right? So just I'm trying to jack up all the different variables you have to think about, right? And that was also kind of my thing of, ooh, if we could make this work where we could have both Barons, now I've got two reroll bubbles.
Yeah.
Which one scares you more? Which one do you need to go heavy into?
Right. I will say, too, I'm kind of like leaning on to the exceptional healing talk and like going back into that. You hit this area. If we start looking at our rest of our tactics cards list, like, where are you, like, outside of like games with Strucker, like, you're going to have situations where it's hard to just, I guess, like, do I even bring it? Because I have all these other cards I want to bring and like, like, that are in this. Like, because let's be honest here, we're trying to bring Wong probably most games, not all, but there are most games. And Vance already is stapled to Wong. Like, right. You might as well just like get a stapler and just snatch it off his card.
In this list, we have nobody else to play.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, that's stapled on. You have a lot of other just fantastic cards here. You're probably bringing Aunt May's Wheat Cakes, the high majority of the games of you're playing some of these, like, damaging extracts. So, yeah, there's a lot of other factors here to consider with a card like Exceptional Healing. That five-card limit is real.
Yes. Yeah, no, and I mean, and the card we didn't even talk about, right? If we go for Zemo, is we didn't even talk about I'm a Baron After All, which... Right. Should be staple to him, and we just don't have space.
There's no way, unfortunately. Right?
But normally I would say, like, well, yeah, it's just like Exceptional Healing being tacked onto Strucker. It's like, well, you want that because, cool, well, now I can heal equal to the round number. I can gain extra power, right? And that does, you know, help. You can pop that and Eyes on turn one, right? And now he can be a midline grab.
Yeah.
But it's two tactics cards, right? Yeah. Which is kind of, you know, annoying. But, like... You can do it. It does unlock a lot of things, but I think once again, we've got three faction cards that we're bringing plus our two restricteds, and that only leaves us with five.
Yep. Absolutely.
Right? But so, the thing I do like about these is, right, while we've got our two restricted, we've got our three faction, the five cards that we have right now, none of them are character locked.
Right.
And I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. They all have that flexibility to where it's like, oh, I don't. That, like, you have very few cards, the way it's been pivoted, to where, like, oh, like, you have Eyes with Bill, yes. You got Advanced R&D with Wong, yes. Outside of that, the world's your oyster. Like, you can slot in whatever you need.
I mean, and the thing is, right, like, depending on the shape and the extracts, like, if it's, you know, something like a Senator's or something like that, and I want to, you know, pivot and... We're going to let somebody else grab one, but it's like we go Wong first. Even if we're not playing Eyes with Bill or something like that, which we don't really need to on Senators, it's like, cool, now I can put Eyes on ASM, and now, well, it's only a one move. He can a little bit more safely grab, right, my opponent's Senator, or I can Eyes, you know, to keep somebody else just further back and steal a Senator or something like that if I have to. It does give you some other options there.
Sure. Okay. Well, so, I think speaking of you talking about a crisis, I think we should go ahead and move on to that topic. And it's kind of like we'll start really tying that bow here on what we're taking next weekend. So we have for secures right now, we're sitting on Cosmic Invasion, Black Order Descends on Earth. We have Riot Sparks Over Extremists 3.0 and then Infinity Formula Gone Missing. Yep. So that is two Ds and a B with 16 threat, 17 and 17. I think the ones here, D's are pretty famous with Web Warriors.
Yep.
They do a fantastic job on them. Some people swear over certain ones and others. I know Portals, for the secure aspect has been a high topic in a lot of web warriors lists. Of some people love it and they think it's a, they swear by it, it's a staple. Others highly disagree. I know, I like, shout out to House Party Protocol, Will O'Daniel. He is an advocate against portals. He just has not had a great experience with it. And he's played them quite a bit. So what are your thoughts on like the portals?
I mean, I think peta flips are not great for webs, right? We've already talked about our power problem.
I think
X-Men, I think, you know, anyone who's got an easier time generating power, I even think Avengers, right? I played a lot of peta flips when I played Avengers because power wasn't really a problem, especially if you're playing Steve One, because your superpowers can be discounted by one, right? Yeah. Or if you know you've got someone who is a really good Kingpin player in your meta, then peta flips are great because it kind of turns Kingpin's leadership off, or at least the main thrust of it off, right? So I think that's where, to me, you know, I kind of stand on peta flips. I don't know that we have, you know, a Kingpin, big Kingpin problem right now in our meta, right? And I don't think I'm really super advantaged. I've got a lot of three threat or three defense across the board characters. We're not playing, you know, a bunch of people with four energy like I would when I used to play Avengers, right? Where I've got Steve and Ms. Marvel and Captain Marvel who've all got these four energies. And it's like, yeah, now I have an advantage. I don't have any advantage on paid flips.
Right. Absolutely. So, okay. I think that's a very fair thing to really look at here with that. So one I do notice, I do think, is, and we kind of talked about it earlier, it was like kind of touched base on it, was supposed to be like it is scoundrels. That is superpower scoundrels from Sinister Syndicate. It's an F. It's the only F secure. It is 20 threat. So if there's anything about it that I'm like, I don't know if I like this or not, is the fact that it's a 20 threat extra or secure. Outside of that, though, I know the concern was brought up about them now having cover from you. I think you benefit way more from the cover it provides, on top of it being the only secure that scores five. And at the end of the day, you're just trying to score out and win the game. I think it is, that's a shoe-in, like, stapled secure now, nowadays for webs, in my opinion. A lot of your, like, impact webbings doesn't go off of damage. It goes off of, like, wild triggers.
Yeah.
So you don't care. Or like, cool, oh, you got the cover. That's great. I still got my wild. Get out of here. Like,
right. No, and I like that. And that's why I kind of like Beast, too, is because I can just sit there and impact webbing. Like, and I'll do that with Gwen. It's like, cool. We're going to throw two impact webbings into you to see if I, because you've already activated, to see if I get the push. Oh, and if I don't, I now have two power and I'm just going to pull you forward off the point. One way or another, you ain't staying.
Right, absolutely. So the question is, so I think if you're agreeing kind of with my thought process on here on Scoundrels, the question comes, I think Riots is the staple de facto, you keep Riot Sparks.
Yeah.
Like, that one's fantastic. It's power intensive only if you want it to be. But it's to heal, so that's fantastic for you.
Well, and with webs, I've you know, abused it enough times where it's like, oh, you think you've got, you know, Miles on the ropes. Cool, he's going to interact with this D. Now he's going to rotate to this one and interact again. Now he's got three health left instead of one.
Right, absolutely.
Come get me.
You can do cheeky things like that for sure.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm doing the Neo Matrix thing of just holding out my hand. Right, and calling an Agent Smith when I pull those things off.
There you go. So I think that becomes a topic of Cosmic Invasion or Infinity Formula. So you've kind of, I'm getting a vibe here that you really do like that B, and you're liking the Infinity. It does shore up your power issues as well for the faction. Yep. Have you found it a problem? Because Bs are kind of like, think of it like a, like Dota or League of Legends, if you will.
Yeah.
These like MOBA style games of just like, it's lanes. It's two lanes.
Yep.
And a lot of people have find it hard to pivot from one lane to another. Have you found that to be an issue in your play?
Not with webs, right? Most of them, between a movement and or a superpower, right? Okay. can get from one to the other, whether you're talking left to right or you're talking north and south, right? You're talking east and west or north and south. Like, they're close enough, right? I can, if I'm on or in front of my B, like, I can web swing 3 and I'm on their B, typically, right? Like, I can get there with a web swing.
Yeah.
And be close and not have to burn a move and still have 2 attacks if that's what I want, right? So, I don't have a problem with the Bs, right? If anything else, the B maybe advantages my opponent because they can rotate easier than I can.
Right. So, I think with a Scoundrel's Thin, which, so we've talked about, like, the high qualities of Infinity here.
Yep.
But it's that B shape, right? Where yep. Ds are supposed to be like this staple shape. What do you yep. think should Scoundrels take the place of? Because at this point, I think it's kind of a toss up.
Right.
Cosmic Invasion has like the one, it's like it's a D has the claws during the power phase. The like you will roll dice. If you get a hit or crit, you gain 2 power, but then you're pushed off the point.
Yeah.
So you can kind of come into a lot of awkward situations with that one. What do you think? What is your have been yeah. your experience so, with that one?
So, I mean, to me, my experience with Cosmic is I live around for both sides. Everybody hits their trigger. And so everybody's powered up, but everybody's displaced or nobody yep. gets anything. And it's just a non-factor.
The gotcha.
Thing where it can really get you. Is if you're playing an opponent who has large base models, right? A CGR, Ghost Rider, Hulk, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And they're smart enough to backstop that model, right? Stick 2 yeah. of their long movers right behind him so he can't get pushed back. And now all of a sudden, you've got a Hulk or an Eye Hulk with 5 power on turn 1.
Yeah.
They are going to go last and they're going to try and get you and just eat you.
Yep,
on
yep,
turn
yep.
1, right?
I've had that happen to me. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so that is, to me, the downside of Cosmic Invasion. Like, 16 threat is pretty good. Most people don't always have a good 16 threat plan. So I like it from the threat level, but also if I'm thinking about the big boy meta, it's like that can really charge them up.
It can. So at this point, I think from my standpoint, mm-hmm. I think Scoundrels is pretty much a must here.
Okay, I'm with you.
I personally think you can go either way. I understand you play D's better, just the shape in general.
Yep.
Like you're kind of like how X-Men are considered the kings of flip secures.
Yep.
I think you're the king of D's.
Yeah.
So is it worth keeping Infinity this B shape over this D shape to add this F?
Yeah.
Even though we know how cosmic, because I'm not even gonna put portals on the table. We had that conversation, and I can go either way. I will say the winning list did run portals, mm-hmm. but again, that argument's still there for it.
Yeah.
And I think both of us are kind of leaning away from the flip secure aspect of it.
So kind of going back to the Adepticon winning list, right? Was it running all 3 Ds and he really just cared about shape? Or
no,
was he running that with other stuff? Like, so he was actually picking that over other Ds.
His list was Scoundrels, Riots, Portals.
Okay.
So he kept Riots. Again, as I mentioned, that's like the that same one in here.
Yeah.
But he had Scoundrels, and I highly agree with that take. I think play Scoundrels.
5 victory points. Like, I get, mm-hmm. I'm picking up what you're putting down there. Makes sense to me.
Yep. And then I think the outlier here is Portals. I think Portals is the one that's like the flex one, in my opinion. Like,
yeah,
Portals is like you can play it, and if you're an advocate of it and you enjoy it and you do it well, I think it's great for you. Play it, do your thing.
Yeah.
But I also think that, like, again, kind of going back to, are you comfortable with something like that? If you don't play Portals well and you've had bad experiences on it, don't even put it in your list. Like, don't just move away from it. Play something you know you're good at and can jam.
Yeah.
And if that is like Infinity Formula here for you, so be it. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I like both Infinity and like Cosmic Invasion, right? The Cosmic Invasion is like, there is that turn one potential downside.
Yep.
Right? Of giving your opponent the advantage. But Infinity Formula being a B, granted, like, I've got three characters, right, with stealth and with smart positioning, hopefully, it's like... The risk with Bs, right, and Fs, at least you're getting the scoundrels on the F, you're getting the cover, is you run into a gun line, right? And cool, I'm right. Just going to sit on my B and I have range to just double tap you every turn.
Yep.
Like that is the scary thing with Bs. I think the Bucky nerf and not seeing him everywhere anymore helps.
That's the thing. I will give you a different caveat, though.
Yeah.
What's gotten a lot of traction, X-Force.
Mm-hmm. X-Force loves a B, doesn't it?
Blowing up, and yes, they do. They yes. do love that.
Yes, our boy Sooner has bad touched me with Cable.
He's been bad touching a lot of people for sure. But yeah, so, they've gotten a lot of traction recently.
That is a good point. I like that, right? Because we are playing a red list. We are playing into the meta. We are playing to win.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing to put Merzane in his place. So
indeed.
So you know, so I'm I don't think people are going to be expecting, and I don't think as many people have experience on Cosmic Invasion as they have experience on Infinity Formula.
Right. And that's bringing the meta conversation into this, mm-hmm. I think that's where we're really finding our answers here. So yep. I think we cut Infinity,
yep.
we put in Scoundrels, and yep. we keep Cosmic and keep Riots.
Yep.
All right, we'll go ahead and mark that in. And then lastly, we, again... circling back around to those extracts. So again, for clarification, and for, you know, even though we kind of went over them earlier, we have Mutant Extremists targets U.S. Senators. We have Skrulls infiltrate world leadership, and we have Spider Infected invade Manhattan.
Right.
That's an LJF for the 19th.
That's what we started with. Yeah.
Yeah. 19-20-17. I've already kind of made my case on a lot of these. I think Infected is the shoe in. That's the de facto that stays.
Yep.
Similar to how Riots was in your secures.
Yep.
No, I mean, think the other two are the questions.
So Cube had been in there for a while, and it's one of that things of, you know, I'm a big fan of do the opposite when it comes to a lot of competitive things. Well, if everybody's doing this, do the opposite because you have a better chance of winning if you're not just following. And so I'm like, okay, well, let me try. And I'd been running, like, what's the opposite, right? Because I know what Cubes is. I've played a lot of Cubes, right? And I'm okay with Cubes. And I do thing I do like about Cubes is I can hold more than one, right? So I can more easily swing the end of a round because of my steals, because of the Venom Blasts from Miles and Jessica. So I do like all of those things about, right, Cubes. And I think, once again, bringing the Wong really helps with that, right? And mitigate that. So I am totally good for bringing... Cubes back in place. It's the thing with Paranoia. Like, Paranoia has been really good to me in the past. It's also, you know, it can swing hard against you too.
It can. But I think if you're in a situation where it's swinging hard against you, you're just in a losing situation.
Yeah, like it's probably not matter that it's that. You're going to lose because you're getting attritioned.
Right, exactly. It's not a situation where it's like, oh, well, the dice messed me up and that was just... fate. No, I think if you're in a spot where you're losing to like the extra point value of Paranoia, you just got put in a bad spot of that match.
Yep.
And you were just in that losing situation.
No, and I like that, right? That's very much, I think, the difference between sitting down and having a conversation with a friend in detail like you and I are having about a list versus just being in your own head about it.
Right.
And that's why something like this, whether recording it for a podcast or we're just hanging out while we're painting one night, is super important for everybody to do.
For sure. Yeah. Always, like, if you got a buddy to go bounce list ideas and have that off of, please do yourself a favor and do so, because it helps quite a bit. Gives you a different aspect of it all. So, yeah. So I think at this point, if we're good with it, I think we go ahead and make those swaps.
Yeah.
We do have the little bit. We have the one issue of flavor, which is not issue, but like the one thing of flavor. So we have a crisis differentiation. So it's not a carbon copy here.
Yes.
But Brad, let's go ahead and do a rundown, man.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got. So we have Landon on. We have ASM. We got Black Cat. We got Ghost Spider, Miles Morales. We got Spider-Woman. We have Spectacular Spider-Man. We are sitting on Beta Ray Bill. We are sitting on Toad. We have made some swaps here, and correct me if I'm wrong, so we're going with Wong over Lizard. Okay.
Yep.
And I think we are agreeing we're going to do the Zemo swap over Strucker. Was that correct?
Yeah, I don't know. I think given our change in shapes and our changes, you know, in our particular extracts, having the amount of movement we can get out of Zemo really advantages us.
Absolutely.
Compared to Strucker.
Yes, 100%. So with tactics cards, we have Brace for Impact. We have the swap of Disarm for Advanced R&D for our Restricteds.
Yep.
We are sitting on All Webbed Up, Spider Tracker, No Matter the Cost, Fallback, Mission Objective, Eyes on the Prize. We made a swap of the Cat and the Spider for Aunt May's Wheat Cakes. And we made the swap of Exceptional Healing for Marked for Death. Is that correct here?
Yep.
Wonderful, wonderful. Then we go on to our secures here. We have now Riot Sparks, which is that's the one we stayed in. That's our shoe in.
Yep.
We are swapping Infinity Formula for Scoundrels here.
Yep.
And then we are keeping Cosmic Invasion because we've agreed that, like, not really the biggest fan of the flip secure aspect, but we do still want to keep that strong D.
Yep.
So we want to go with Cosmic over it. One thing we didn't mention that I also do like with Cosmic as well is it is still that lower threat. We're sitting on a 16 threat there. So that's something to also
And that's the big thing, right? If you're worried about the threat, like I could totally see swapping out Scoundrels, right, back for Infinity Formula because then it keeps our max at 17.
Absolutely.
Right. So 100%. It always just gives us, if we lose, no matter what they pick, we're going to not have to go bigger than 17.
Indeed, indeed. So, and then for extracts, we kept Spider Infected, but we've swapped both Extremis and Scrolls, and we have added in Struggle for Cubes.
Yep.
And then Paranoia Pummels.
Yes.
All right. And Brad, how are we feeling about these changes?
This is good. I'm looking forward to trying to get this out once or twice this week ahead of the event and run some of these different combinations and see how they feel.
Absolutely. And then I do want to give a shout out to Quebec Tango and congrats again for the winning that challenger event at Adepticon. We're going to give your list a run, man. And I think Brad's going to do a pretty good job with it. And also I would love Brad, like once the event happens, keep us posted in the Discord on a
definitely. Let us know. I will. I've been trying to use the game kind of tracking and recording of Jarvis protocols this year a lot more. So that existing list I've been trying to track my games and do write-ups after them.
Nice.
So that I can remember what happened, right? What worked, what didn't work. What I need to be more conscientious of in the future, right? The other night I was playing against Lucas, who is fantastic. He won Timelines event this year at Adepticon. Right. And him and I talked after the fact, and like, there was two or three misplays, right, that I made that he's very, very gracious enough that after we finished the game to kind of have kept some mental notes and give me a breakdown of, hey, you could have done this. You could have done this. I think you did the right thing here. But then the way you followed up, like, on it was really good. And one of the things I wasn't doing frequently enough is I was not using witty banter enough off of ASM.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So now, but like, I made that mistake. Right. And so now it's like, I'm going to be sitting there, even if I have to make a little sign to sit in front of me next week that just says witty banter, that's going to sit, you know, in front of ASM's card. All right.
Yeah.
It's just like, you need to be witty bantering every chance you get.
Absolutely. And it's a really good thing to do, talking out with your opponents. If they're willing to have that conversation, obviously, if you're playing with a friend, that's not a factor. But talking the game over after it's happened helps you really digest how that went down, what could change, your play patterns versus theirs, anything like that. Always good to download that knowledge after a game. It's really, really sweet.
Yeah. And shout out, I didn't know he did this, but Luke was telling me afterwards, cause I was like, oh yeah, you must get a lot of games. And he's like, not as many as you think, but he streams other people's games on Twitch and puts it on YouTube. A lot. And that's actually where he spends a lot of his time that would be gaming doing. So he actually spends a lot of time doing the analysis, right, of the moves and stuff. And so shout out to him and his Twitch and YouTube channel. It's just under Lucas Schick. You know, if you want to watch battle reports, basically, or watch games played and get that kind of commentary, like, that's a source for it.
Yeah, so you can check him out.
So you can, I think, you know, like him and like Vince Kirkhoff of the Taco Truck, you know, what Vince said after LVO 2023, he's like, all of this tech was on my YouTube channel, just nobody was watching it. He's like, I'd explained how all of my shield shenanigans work and how to deal with them.
Yeah. Right? Any of Vince's stuff is no secret. I just think people just don't take the time to like really research it and play it. And to be fair as well, there are not a lot of shield players out there.
Right.
Especially these days, since the changes.
It takes a lot. And it's a list that requires a lot of repetitions and putting yourself in a lot of those situations. And that's where, you know, his strength is. He's grinding a ton of games, getting those repetitions in against other good players. So hopefully in a big event, he's not seeing a situation that's new.
Yeah. And and people like Vince and people like him too, like, really showed that just about anything in this game is viable. As long as you put in the repetition, some things take less reps than others because it's just innately powerful. But with time and research and just doing your thing, you too can like take a faction that is like considered like a lower mid tier and start crushing events with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's been the nice thing, with the exceptions of a couple of characters that have come out, when it comes to the meta of this game. It's like, you don't need to buy the new hot thing to be competitive, to keep chasing the meta like you do in some other games.
Right. Absolutely. Well, Brad, that being said, I know we are, you know, a patron here, but at the same time, if you want people to reach out, where can they find you?
Yeah. So I'm on, you know, Gamers Guild is probably going to be the easiest place. I'm Brad A on all the Discords. I hunt that one. Big fan over, you know, of Willow Daniel, one of your locals, right? And I'm on his House Party Protocol Discord, but that one's behind his Patreon. So that's a little bit harder. I pop up over on the Morlocks a few times a year, doing some janky list builds with Lexa. So nice. If you want to hear kind of more of my crazier thoughts, you can usually hear me over there. I'm friends with her. And otherwise, like, if you're in the Southeast, get on that Discord. I'm in Nashville. I'll be at NashCon. Planning to be at Gen Con this year, so, you know, hopefully that'll be a nice low-high-end player, give me a good chance to win a larger event for a change, where I don't have to battle some of the bigger guys, because I don't blame them for not wanting to go to a 60,000-70,000 person con to play.
Absolutely, yeah. I understand that completely. Well, Brad, thank you so much for being on today. Really appreciate it. I hope this list and going over these changes really, like, you feel it and you like notice and see the strengths of it all. Yep. Good luck next weekend. Tell the guys I said hi.
I will.
Be there.
I know. It's a little bit of a long trip from Memphis for a day trip.
For sure. That it's on top of that, I'll be on my anniversary trip. So that's the reason I won't be able to make it.
That is a better reason. You're still in that newlywed
no, we're becoming season. We're year two.
Yeah, I'm year 19 this year.
Hey,
so,
congrats!
Right, yeah. So it's like kind of like one of those things. If it's like, oh yeah, we did that the first couple of years, and now it's like, oh crap, that is our anniversary. I guess we should do something.
Right.
You know, very, very, very much like, yes. Now our first year, it's like we went to Mackinac Island for our anniversary and stuff like that. First, second, like, but yeah. After a while, it's just like, huh, when is that? You know, my wife's like, there's this class I want to take, but it's on our anniversary. I'm like, that's fine. Don't care.
Oh, okay. Now,
right? Because it's just like, I'm with you all the time anyway, right? Opportunities come up for one-off things. Like, yeah, go do them. We can go to dinner. We can run out of town for the weekend anytime.
Absolutely.
After a while. So.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, highly appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate this. This is great.
Absolutely, man. And for anyone else who wants to take a list like this to spin, please go ahead and do so. Let us know your feedback in the Discord. The Training Grounds channel is right there if you want to go ahead and give that a shot. We would love your feedback. So that being said, everyone, have a good day and keep on gaming.